My sisters and brothers, as has become our practice, let's pray. Father, I pray. We pray in agreement with you as well as with one another, making petitions and requests to you with thanksgiving that you will bless your sons and daughters who listen to the messages through the podcast that I believe you've given me. Father, may they be blessed and prosper in all they do according to your word and will. I pray and petition you, Father, that they and their families will walk in divine health and that their days upon the earth will be long and fruitful. We pray in agreement for Mandy Williams, Missy Marr, as well as my great niece, along with the young woman who I love like a granddaughter, and so many others, young and old, who are under physical, mental, as well as emotional and spiritual attacks. Let them all know you as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God who heals. We ask again, Father, that they would all walk in divine health and free from pain, whether that pain is physical, emotional, or psychological. Also, Father, we thank you that you continue to allow us to see your faithfulness on behalf of so many for whom you have moved so mightily. And we thank you for others who are seeing and experiencing you as Jehovah Rapha. I petition you, O Lord, that we would all hear your voice clearly and concisely, and that all we put our hands to will be blessed according to your word and your will. I pray and make requests to you, Father, that my family, as well as each and every one of your sons and daughters who are listening, along with their families, will walk in covenant with you all the days of their lives. May their covenant blessings with you be generational to the thousandth generation, Jesus, should you tarry. I make these requests, petitioning you, Father, with thanksgiving, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, and welcome to another episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. This week's episode is entitled, What Have You Left Open to the Enemy? Watch and pray. Last week, I shared a couple of things with those of you who listen. The first thing was our usual Monday message, which was part three of God is Moving What's Been Blocking Your Way. However, on Tuesday morning, there was a second release in which I shared a dream that God had given me the day before. In the explanation for releasing something the very next day after the first podcast, I explained and reminded us that God was beginning to speak to me for individuals through my dreams. As stated last week, I've always been a dreamer since I was a young child. That has not stopped. In fact, today I'll be sharing with you yet another dream that God gave me during this past week. As some of you may recall, before I shared with you the first dream, I also released a prophetic word for an individual. I was amazed at the number of people who contacted me personally to tell me that that word was for them. I believe there were also others who didn't contact me but were a part of the number who the message had been shared with and received that word for themselves as well. In the first message, God warned us that an attack was coming. This attack may not necessarily be a short one, but rather one over a period of time that's intended to bring great fear and will cause the person or people who are under attack to make terrible choices. Even though a prophet spoke to the kings of Israel and Judah that Ahab was going to die, they still made the terrible choice to go into battle with an enemy. Josiah, one of the kings of Judah, a very godly king, who also made the choice to go into battle without seeking God's counsel. He too was killed. The choices two of these kings made cost them their lives, and it nearly cost Jehoshaphat his. We must be prayerful concerning the choices that we make, especially when it's during an attack. On Saturday morning, during my prayer and devotion time, God brought me into 2 Kings 18. This is when Hezekiah was king of Judah and Jerusalem. They were being attacked by the king of Assyria. In spite of being asked to not speak in the Hebrew language, the Assyrian field commander intentionally spoke words in the hearing of all the people with the intent to cause fear to such a degree that they would give up without a fight. We, as the sons and daughters of the Most High King, will not fall for this tactic. We will not fear what the enemy is saying. And as King Hezekiah ordered the people of Judah and Jerusalem, we also will not answer. We will not make choices, decisions, or take courses of actions that we will later regret. Remember, this is a test. We must remember that the second prophetic warning was one of testings. Our testings can and will come through temptations that the enemy will set us up for. In Matthew 26, Jesus told his disciples in the 41st verse, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Strong's Concordance defines the word temptation in this particular verse as a trial or a proving. It's defined as a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, and constancy. A temptation is an enticement to sin or to lapse from faith and holiness. It could be an adversity, an affliction, or trouble sent by God, serving to test or prove one's character, faith, and holiness. If we give up and begin to respond to the tactics and words of the enemy without God's explicit directions, it could very well be because we've experienced a lapse in faith, a failure of character, or a decline in holiness. Remember, in the dream I shared with you, God spoke to me to say that in order for us to move to the next level and to greater heights in Him, that there would be tests. Some of these tests will be through temptations that God is allowing to reveal to us our own characters, integrity, faith, and holiness. We must pass these tests, these temptations, these times of adversity and afflictions. During our times of trouble, we cannot allow ourselves to be enticed in ways that will jeopardize the strengths of our character, integrity, and holiness. These times of testing will attempt to defer and discourage our faith in the God we serve, who is the true and living God. We must remember that Jesus warned the disciples concerning temptations while they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, I repeat Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My sisters and brothers, I cannot begin to tell you how strong this message is in my spirit. Jesus said to watch and pray. We must be alert, aware, and vigilant concerning the schemes, plots, and plans of the enemy. In the language of Christianese, if I could use that word, again coming from the Strong's Concordance, to watch means to take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes one. Lest through remission and indolence, that's laziness, negligence, and idleness, some destructive calamity will overtake us. I repeat, watch and pray. This brings me to the second dream I had last week. In the dream, it seemed as though my family and another family shared a double house. Doubles are houses that were built during the early and mid 20th century. They're comparable to the modern duplex or townhouse of today. Double houses in New Orleans are rather old, but still very common, and most people in my area of this state are familiar with them. For those who are not, let me explain. These are houses that will share the same roof and foundation. The only thing that allows such a house to be used by two separate families is the solid wall from floor to ceiling down the middle of the house. Oftentimes, these double houses are also referred to what's called shotguns. The reason for that is because it was once said that with a shotgun house, You could stand at the front door and shoot a shotgun straight out the back door of the same house. In the dream, me and my family, my mother and sisters, were living in a double house. The family that lived on the other side of the house, in reality, were and are people who my family and I have a very, very close, loving relationship with through marriage. It seemed as though everyone was going somewhere special, and I decided, seemingly at the last minute, not to go with them. It wasn't because of any specific reason, other than the fact that I just decided I didn't want to go. After everyone left, I thought I heard some noises in the other family's house. I could hear extremely loud music and another sound that I couldn't quite identify. It seemed that because of our closeness and familiarity, we had a door in the wall where we could go back and forth to one another's homes without going outside. When I walked through the connecting door, I saw some teenage boys on skateboards with music, skating up and down in my family's friend's home. The boys didn't seem to be stealing or breaking anything at that time, but yet they had entered illegally and were in actuality wreaking havoc. They had no business in my friend's house, and they definitely had no business skateboarding through it. I felt a danger and the potential for harm if they didn't leave. I didn't have anything in my hands, but decided to bluff the boys into thinking that I did. I put my hands up toward my ears as though I had a cell phone. I said loud enough for them to hear, "I'm calling 911. Then I said, as though someone was on the other end of the call, "Send the police because someone has broken into my house." Immediately, the boys picked up their skateboards and ran out. I started checking the windows and doors in my friend's house to lock them and assure that the teenagers wouldn't decide to come back. Every window and door was unlocked and open. I locked all of them with the exception of one. This particular door was damaged and could not be closed completely. It seems as though there was a fire hydrant blocking the door, and I couldn't tell if it was inside or outside of the door. But I do know that it's what was keeping the door from being closed completely. I realized that my friends must have been aware of the broken door because it seems as though they had pushed a dresser against the door to keep it closed as much as it could be. However, even with the door being blocked by the dresser, there was still an opening large enough for someone to get through if they tried. That was the end of the dream. Once again, I know our Father is telling us to be alert, be aware, and keep watch. We must be aware of where the gaps and breaches are in our hearts and minds. We cannot allow the enemy to have easy access to our lives and spirits. There are openings that the enemy will use to enter into our lives if to do nothing more than to wreak havoc, bring turmoil, and calamity. In Matthew 24:43, Jesus said to the people, "But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into." The contemporary English version of the Bible reads, "Homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they are always on guard to keep one from breaking in." Jesus was warning the people to be alert and on watch for the coming of Christ. He was warning them that if we are not watchful, the time of judgment will come upon us when we're not expecting it. However, when reading this scripture, we can also see that Jesus used a warning concerning a literal thief. We must also be alert and aware of the literal thief, who is Satan himself. In the parable, Jesus is telling the people that the thief will come at a time when we're not ready if we do not remain vigilant. Therefore, we must always, always be on the watch. Watch and pray. Remember what it means to watch. We must stay alert so that we don't allow some destructive calamity to suddenly overtake us. We cannot be negligent, lazy, or idle during this time of testing. Going back to the story of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18, even though he instructed the people not to answer, it didn't end there. In the next chapter of 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah sent messengers to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah answers them in the sixth verse of that chapter. It reads, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." My sisters and brothers, at least four times during this past week, God has brought me into various scriptures that are telling me to say to his people clearly and concisely, do not be afraid, do not fear. However, sometimes a thing is a lot easier said than done. But there's a strategy. There is a strategy that must be employed by us so that we do not give in to fear. In 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat was king, again, Judah was under attack. In verse 15, the prophet of the Lord spoke to the people. What he said was, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." We all remember that scripture, even if we don't remember the book, verse, or for that matter, who said it or who it was said to. But we all remember those words. The battle is not yours, but God's. Pastors have preached those words. We've seen those words on t-shirts and mugs, and Christians have even written songs with them. However, before the prophet spoke those words, Jehoshaphat prayed. Let me say here and now that if we don't have a consistent prayer life, we will never hear from God the way we need to. We can quote all the scriptures we want, but true, consistent prayer must be at the forefront. The prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed ended with these words in the 12th verse. "But we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Too many have forgotten that before the Lord will fight our battles, our eyes have to be on him. Listen to me, my sisters and brothers. In the 20th verse of that 20th chapter, it reads, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." We must have faith in the Lord our God. And I ask you to have faith in me as a prophet in what I'm saying to you in this hour. Our eyes must remain on the Lord our God. Watch and pray, people. Watch and pray and keep our eyes on God. I know that God is saying that there are those of us who have left openings, holes, and cracks that the enemy will use to enter into our homes. Not just our literal physical homes, but the spiritual houses as well. Too many have become too comfortable with the way things are around them. Some have become lax and careless in their spirits. If Peter had watched and prayed as Jesus had instructed him, rather than going to sleep, quite possibly he would not have given into the temptation and fear which led him into denying Christ. He would not have failed the test. If we watch and pray, if we keep our eyes on the Lord our God, not only will we not fall into the temptations of the enemy, but neither will we find ourselves giving into fear and making decisions and choices that will lead to our destruction. If we watch and pray, stay alert and vigilant while keeping our eyes on God, we can be aware of the calamities that will try to overtake us and not be caught off guard. We will make sure that there are no openings, cracks, or doors left open and unguarded where the enemy can enter. There are some things in life that we will not be able to avoid. But when and if they come, they won't catch us off guard. When we watch and pray and keep our eyes on God, then the Lord our God will fight our battles. We will pass the tests that we are being tested with. Watch and pray, my sisters and brothers. Watch and pray. In closing out, let me add this final note. When God is speaking to us concerning cracks, openings, and holes where the enemy will enter, as we should all know, he's not speaking of physical places. He's speaking of the places and areas in our hearts and spirits where hurts and pains have left injuries, ruin, and devastations. Places in our past life that we have not been able to forgive and release those who brought harm to us. Things that will still come to our minds, and when we think on them, will still hurt and even cause his sons and daughters to want revenge. Those are the cracks, the harms, the injuries that allow the enemy entrances to bring about even more devastation that will cause us to fail the test. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of This is the Voice of the Prophet. I ask that each of you would share this podcast with others and always remember that it's available for listening on every podcast server and app. I continue to ask you for your support through your prayers. You can contact me through my email at ameeteagle@charter.net. That's ameeteagle@charter.net and through the Facebook post or Facebook Messenger. Thank you again for your prayers and support, and may God bless each and every one of you.